Masechet Pe'ah, Perek He, Mishnah Bet. Shikha, we said, forgotten bundles, are usually, when a bundle is already in the field, it was prepared, and it was forgotten in the field, it wasn't brought into the barn with the rest of the yield. But there's also something called Shikha Bakama, forgotten standing stalks, that if a person forgot a stalk here, a stalk there, he forgot to harvest them, or he missed them, and now he's moved on to another section of the harvest, of the field. The standing stalk there is left for the ani, he can take it. The question becomes, how far can the forgotten stalk be from the rest of the field that hasn't been harvested yet, in order to consider it shikha? If it's right next to it, how far away does it have to be to say the poor person could just pluck that piece of wheat, that stalk, and keep it for himself? The Mishnah says, shibolet shibak katsid, if you have a stalk of grain that was overlooked and that was left standing in the field, in the harvested section already, but it's close enough to the unharvested section of the field, and the Mishnah says, v'rosho magia lakama, that it's, if its tip is bent, the end of that stalk reaches the standing area of uncut grain. And it's very, very close. How close does it have to be to consider it to be part of that unharvested section where the poor person is not allowed to take it? Answers the Gemara, answers the Mishnah. Im nikseret imakama, hare hi shel balabayit. The Mishnah says, if that overlooked stalk is close enough to the unharvested section where a person could grab onto all of it, the bottom of the stalk, the stem, with the other grain in the unharvested section in one handful, and then cut them with his sickle, it's hadehe shebalabayit. It's considered to be the farmers, because it's not far enough away. It's really part of the unharvested section. So you can't consider it forgotten. V'im lav hadehi shel aniim. If it's far enough away where the owner cannot grab it together, he cannot cut together this stalk with forgotten grain, then you cannot consider it to be part of the unharvested section of the field. Rather, you have to consider it to be already harvested, and it was forgotten, and it's now belongs to the poor person, and it is considered to be shikha. Next case of the Mishnah, shibolet sheleket shinit arba begadish. If you have a single stalk of leket that was on the ground, and somehow it wasn't collected by the poor person, and it was mixed in to a non-leket pile of produce, ma'aser shibolet ahat v'noten lo. What happens at that point? This rich man or this farmer is obligated in leket. He's obligated to give one stalk to the poor person. Problem is, if he takes any random piece of grain and he gives it to the poor person, he doesn't really know if that's leket or not. If it was leket, he wouldn't be obligated to give ma'aser. He wouldn't be obligated to tithe that stalk, because we know leket is patur, it's exempt from giving ma'aser. So if it's leket, he would have been okay, but we're talking about a whole pile fell on this few stalks of leket that are on the bottom. So we have to assume that it's not leket. We have to assume that the one he's picking up is not the one that fell down when he was cutting, and we say that he still has to give ma'aser on the item he's now giving to the poor person. He has to give one stalk to the poor person. So we say let's say it was one on the bottom that was leket that got mixed into others, he has to give one of leket to the poor person, and then he has to say, okay, I'm going to take a small little portion from another stalk and say that if the item I gave to the poor person wasn't really leket, if it was some other grain that I used as a substitute for leket, I am giving ma'aser for that stalk as well. And then the Baal HaBayit has in mind, whatever was really leket, I'm exchanging, I'm trading with the ani. He's now giving me that stalk of leket that's considered to be mine as part of the rest of the pile, and I'm giving him this one that I just substituted as leket. The Mishnah continues and says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Michi Heache Ani Hazeh Machlif Tavar Shelo Ba Bereshuto. Rabbi Eliezer can say, Rabbi Eliezer says, how could you do that? How is that a real possibility? That isn't fair. The ani, the poor person, never really took possession of the leket to now make a trade with the Baal HaBayit. The leket that's in the field, that's still under that pile, It wasn't in the possession of the Ani to say he has the rights to change it for another piece of leket. How could you say that the Ani does that? So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer comes up with another solution. Ela mezaket ha'ani b'chol ha'gadish. U'ma'aser shibolet ahat v'noten lo. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say the farmer has to do? The farmer has to first grant ownership of the entire pile of grain to the poor person. Here, he's saying, here, this entire pile is yours. And now I'm taking one of them, which is in your possession, and I'm saying, this is going to be the one that's considered to be leket. I am giving it to you as the real leket, because you're making that exchange with me of whatever really was the one stalk of leket under there. You're returning that. I'm giving that to you. I'm letting you keep that as the poor person. That's gonna be the exchange for the leket. And the rest of the pile, you're going to return to me because I am the rightful owner. So, and the commentaries mention over here that, of course, the owner does this with a matana amanat lahazir. He says the whole transaction with the ani, why can't the ani just jump up and say he's going to keep the entire pile? He could say, okay, thanks for the pile, I'm out. I'm not giving you back the rest of the pile, and I'll keep one stalk. So the whole transaction was done under the assumption that the ani has to return the pile afterwards. That it was only a temporary transaction just to make the deal happen so that the ani can take the leket.